This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Are you there, Sam?
Yep, hang on, I'm just turning that on.
Is our guest ready?
Yep, I've got the music ready.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep, sounds great.
Cool. Otago Access Radio, in partnership with Otago Polytechnic, brings you Blowing Bubbles.
Blowing Bubbles brings you positive conversations with people in their bubbles around the world.
We're curious about how people are finding new ways of life, being and problem solving. Every Wednesday, the Sustainable Lens team of Samuel Mann and Mawira Karatai reach out from our bubbles to chat with interesting and positive people around the world.
Broadcast on Otago Access Radio, 105.4 FM in Dunedin, and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz.
Bringing joy, connection, kindness and peace in all the days ahead.
Welcome to Blowing Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. I'm Samuel Mann in Otipoto, Dunedin, and I'm joined from Whakatane by Mawira Karatai. Kia ora, Mawira.
Kia ora, Sam. How's it going?
It's going very well indeed. I'd just like to point out that it is still Mawira's birthday.
This is week three of my birthdays. We started on my actual birthday recording four different interviews, so yes, it's going to be a long month of birthdays.
I think that's a good way to do it.
I wish I got presents for every week, Sam.
Well, you can organise that.
I think I'm going to, and cake.
Yeah, tell
presents
Jack.
Presents and cake. I will.
Right, so who are we introducing today?
It is my great pleasure to introduce an exchange student who's visiting at the University of Otago, Carolina Duras from Denmark. Welcome. Yes. It is so wonderful to have you here.
Thank you for having me and happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Welcome, Carolina. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Denmark in a city close to Copenhagen, a little bit north of it, called Holden, which was very nice, and I think it was a very safe upbringing in a very nice city where there's the forests and lakes, and yeah, I liked it there.
And what did you want to be when you grew up?
Oh, that's a tough question. I think when I was very small, I wanted to have a farm because I like animals. But then as I grew up, I started having other interests as well. So I don't think that is going to happen.
So what is it that you are, you're an exchange student, what is it that you are studying?
At home, I study at Copenhagen Business School. On my master's is something called, it's a very long name, but it's called Business Administrations and Economics in Strategy, Organization and Leadership. So that's a long words there. And here in Dunedin, in University of Otago, I'm doing some different papers and different courses on sustainability and marketing and managing international organizations. And I think it's been very interesting so far.
Is it a usual thing in Copenhagen to make very long titles for things? Just keep going, adding all the things you're doing.
Yeah, I think it is, at least at my university.
This is my house and kitchen and bedroom and bathroom. So you are, one of the courses that you're doing is Mawira and Joe's, I've forgotten what it's called, let's call it sustainable business, current issues in sustainable business or something. Yeah. What made that jump out of the menu of things that you could choose from?
I just really think sustainability is important, especially when studying business. I wanted to learn more about how to make business ways more green, more sustainable. And then this course popped out to me. I think it's been really cool how we are doing both the podcast and the action research program project, so that we're going out there and actually trying to change some things and learn about some practical ways of doing that.
I don't know if I can fairly do it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Does your upbringing in Denmark, does that bring with it a particular view, understanding of sustainability? And how does that relate to what you've been learning here?
Yeah, I think so, because in Denmark we do have a lot of awareness about sustainability, and I think we are front movers in many ways in different technological things we're doing and different initiatives we have going on. And it's a very we have a lot of focus on equality between people, so both sustainability in a environmental sense and a social sense. So I think that does shape the way I look at sustainability. And I think it's been really interesting to learn about that here as well, because here in New Zealand, I think it's very admirable how much respect there seems to be for the nature and for, we also talked about this in class, but how New Zealand is doing on sustainability. I think there are some comparisons. So yeah, it has been really interesting. I also, at home, I work in an NGO that does developmental aid in countries, in developmental countries. And there we also have some pretty cool ways of trying to think sustainability into everyday life. We have these, secondhand shops, and some other shops that sell food that would otherwise just go to waste because there would be mistakes on it, or it's getting closer to the expiration dates. So I think we've found some innovative ways to try to do better. And I think that's also some of the things we're learning about in this class. So that has been very interesting, putting it all together, I think.
We've interviewed several of your classmates. I'm going to describe them as finance tech bros, who who in their undergrad really didn't get much sustainability, but it sounds as though sustainability has been a thing through your business education already.
Yeah, I would say so. Yes, I also had some courses on sustainability before in my master's degree, where we were learning about how to, we also had to do this project where we had to choose a specific company and then see what they were doing sustainability-wise to make their, so how you can go profit but still do it in a green way. So I do have some experience on the topic.
Let's take the first of your music choices. I was hoping for something Danish, but instead we've got Rod Stewart, Sailing. Why this one?
I think it's pretty self-explanatory if you know what my topic is, because it's about the ferry industry. So that goes well hand in hand with the sailing. And then also I like the way he shifts from I am sailing to we are sailing, because it shows how with sustainability, it's not just one person's responsibility, it's more people. So I liked how it was from I am sailing to we are sailing.
I am sailing home again, across the sea. I am sailing stormy waters to be near you, to be free. I am flying. Sky, I am flying, passing.
people to, or five people in their lives who have been the wind beneath their wings, who have lifted them up and inspired them to where they are today. Who have been those people for you?
I think my parents, probably, because they've always encouraged me to go out there and learn, and they've been really good at showing me that there are different ways of living and taking me traveling, and that's also what I'm doing right now, going on exchange. So I think it's so healthy to go and see how there are other perspectives on the world and all that. So I owe a lot to them for giving me a good, safe upbringing and, yeah, being so supportive throughout my life, and also my grandparents and my family in general, I would say.
Well, I think that they all have a lot to be very proud of. They have raised a remarkable young woman who is brave, because it's brave to just walk away from your life and go over to the other side of the world and try something new in a different place, in a different language, in a different everything. And I think that you are doing incredibly well.
Thank you so much.
Do they have that same interest in sustainability? Is that something that you're seeing in your cultural space as in the older generations?
Yes, I think it's coming more to surface with the younger generations. Also, just with the time we're in right now, that we're learning more about the consequences of the way we are behaving to the environment. But it is something that, like my grandmother, for example, she works as a volunteer in an, or both my grandma and my grandpa work in a secondhand shop because they want to do the best they can with their time and try to, as retired, because they're retired right now, and then they still want to contribute to the overall society and spend this time working there and giving back, because the money that is raised from this secondhand shop will support people in need. So I think it is something I've learned from the elder generations as well. It's not just something that's seen with the younger people.
Where do you think you'll take this when you move into, the next phase in your own professional practice? What are going to be the most important things that you'll take with you from this part of your education?
I think working in an international environment is something that will do me very well in the future, because the world is so globalized, also in Denmark, because we're such a small country. We only have 6 million people, like here, I think. So we do, it's very common to work with people from other countries and other cultures. And so I think the whole aspect of just being in a group with people from different countries and traveling around and hearing different perspectives, that's something that will, I feel better equipped to do that in my future career since coming here. So I'm very thankful for that.
I think that that is a really great gift to take into your professional practice space. If I could magic you into the future 10 years from now, what are you doing for a job?
Oh, that's a good question. I would like to do something with sustainability, I think, actually. But I think it's hard. It's both a blessing and a curse that there are so many ways to go, so many choices to make, because also with the master I've chosen, it's so broad, so there are so many directions I can go in. And then I think it's hard for me to choose just one. So I can't really say for sure what direction it will be, but sustainability is definitely one of the ways I'm considering the most.
Do you see a time in your own lifetime where we won't have to think of sustainability as a thing we have to introduce, where it'll just be how we are, where it will become the normal?
Yeah, I hope so. I think it's already happening in some degree, that you can't just pollute and you can't just not think about it at all. Also with legislations and with also in the podcast that I made, the guy I talked to, he also says that the people they are hiring, they want to work for a sustainable company. So it's both in terms of legislations, in terms of brand value and getting the right people to work there. You have to be sustainable. So I think it is going to happen naturally, and it's already sort of happening. I hope so, at least, that at some point it will just be the normal.
Hello and welcome. My name is Caroline Durhus, and today we're exploring how sustainable business models can thrive even in industries known for high emissions. A clear example of this is maritime transport, where most ships still run on heavy fuel oil. In fact, the shipping industry accounts for around 3% of global greenhouse gas emissions, and without major changes, those numbers are expected to rise significantly in the coming decades. But the tide can still turn. A recent study by Swedish researchers found that electrifying passenger ferries can reduce climate impact by more than 90% compared to conventional fuel-powered vessels. And while battery production does create emissions, the long-term environmental benefits are substantial. Today I will be speaking with Christian Duerhus, who is the CEO of Molslinjen, which is Denmark's largest domestic ferry company and a global leader in fast ferry operations. With 18 ships across 10 routes, 2,000 employees and 15 million passengers annually, Molslinjen plays a key role in connecting Danish islands as well as a route to Sweden. Molslinjen is a fascinating case study in green transition. They have already electrified 3 ferry routes, with a 4th coming this December, and have recently launched the world's largest electrification project at sea by ordering 3 more battery-powered catamarans, which are expected to be ready to operate in 2027 and 2028. This nearly $1 billion New Zealand dollar investment is expected to eliminate 132,000 tons of CO2 emissions from Denmark's climate footprint each year. During my conversation with Christian, we look at how Molslinjen is leading the way in sustainable ferry operations, the role of technology and innovation in reducing emissions, and how businesses and individuals can contribute to a greener future. So, hello, I am here with Christian Duerhus, who is the CEO of the Danish ferry company Molslinjen. And this podcast that we're doing is a part of my class on contemporary issues in sustainable business. It will be a part of a series where my classmates will also interview people conducting sustainable business. We have some questions that all of us will be asking and some that we will be doing individually. And one of the questions that we are all asking our interview subjects is, what or where is your happy place?
Thank you for asking me to participate, first of all. My happy place is probably diving underwater at a coral reef.
That also sounds very nice.
It is.
And yes, thank you for being part of this podcast, first of all. Can you say a little bit about how you got to where you are today?
Well, I've come here on the back of working many, many years in international business life, more than 30 years where I've been working in travel, transport and service sectors, technology sectors. I worked in aviation, in security, in airports, and now I work in passenger ferries as CEO of one of the biggest high-speed passenger ferry companies in the world.
Yes, and the whole subject is about sustainability. So can you tell me something that have led your views to unsustainability and if they've changed since then?
Well, I've been around for so many years in business life where a lot of it had been travel and transport, which means that I worked in energy consuming companies, polluting companies for decades, I can say. And during that time, I've seen, like everybody else, that the usage of energy, particularly black energy, is too high worldwide, and that as the world develops, particularly as the Chinese, the Indians, and other get to a higher standard of living, they also have a right to own a car and have the same standard of living like in the West, and that is not possible for the world unless we decarbonize our energy usage. And I've seen that come gradually over the last 30, 40 years.
And that also has something to do with what you're doing right now in Molslinjen. Can you tell me a little bit about what it is that you're doing with the whole electrification of your ferries and why that is helping to make your business more sustainable and lower your carbon emissions?
Well, in the ferry business, especially in the ferry business, where we sail what is called short sea in opposition to high sea, you know, where you travel between, for example, New Zealand, Australia, and Europe or United States, we have short travels. Nevertheless, we use a lot of diesel oil, bunker oil, because we sail a lot. We sail with high frequency. We sail 24/7 on some of our routes. And in the last 5 years, 10 years, the European Union particularly, but also Danish government, Swedish government, Norwegian government, we are in all three countries, have introduced a number of tariffs on CO2 emission, which means that for our sector, it's a question of survival to decarbonize one way or the other. Beside that, our shareholders, which is the big Swedish private equity fund, EQT, they have a clear strategy of decarbonizing. They bought our company 4 years ago with a clear strategy to invest in order to decarbonize, because that is the future. The companies who become green are the companies who will prosper, who will survive. As part of that, we took a decision years ago to go down the electrical way. There's lots of different types of energy you can use, but they're only really viable when you sail on short sea passenger ferries is electricity, because you cannot get anything else in the right amounts. The electricity you can get now, you can buy green electricity. And because we sail on relatively short routes, it's also fiscally possible for us to do it.
So as part of your strategy, it's both compliance and its opportunity to be greener and make a difference?
Yes, because all our employees, as well as our shareholders, prefer to work for a green company. So it's for the benefit of everybody. It's for the benefit of society. Some of our routes are among the top 10 polluters in Denmark, CO2 polluters. So when we decarbonize our ferry routes, it makes a big difference for the country as a whole.
And is this something that's happening on a global scale, that ferry companies are shifting towards more electricity, or are you the front movers?
We are the front movers, because we the biggest ferry electrification project in the world as we speak was done in 2018 by us on our so-called Öresund line, a short route, 4 kilometer long route between Denmark and Sweden, where we rebuilt two of our ferries to become electrical. So we've been operating that for 7 years, and here 7 years later, it is still the biggest project in the world. We introduced just 2 months ago in July this year that we will now decarbonize our biggest route, which is between Jutland and Zealand in Denmark, where we sail with high-speed catamarans. We will buy three high-speed catamarans from the first two ones from Incat Shipyard in Tasmania, actually. The last one we haven't decided yet. That project will go live December 27, January 28, and will be the biggest in the world. So we will beat ourselves, you can say. The whole sector globally is trying to become green now, because a lot of these CO2 emission charges that have been introduced are from the European Union. So everybody who sails in Europe or in and out of Europe have to pay them. But the various countries around the world are also now in the process of agreeing on global CO2 emission charges, so-called IMO charges, where the Americans, the Chinese, the Europeans, the Australians, the New Zealanders, and so on, will agree on something. It has not been decided yet, but it probably will by the end of this year, and then it will be introduced on a global scale.
So what do you think the future of the ferry industry looks like? Are you positive that it will have a lower carbon emission, and do you think it will be fully electric, or how do you see it happening?
We are in our company, which is one of the biggest in the world in short sea ferries. We will have all our ferries decarbonized by 2040. Most of them actually already by 2030. On a global level, with all ships, not just ferries, but also trading ships and so on. It's a different story. There it will take on the other side of 2050 before it happens.
Okay. Being a leader of a business that is working towards becoming more sustainable, do you have any advice for other business leaders who are trying to integrate sustainability into their operations on how to best do this, or what to consider?
Well, it depends a lot on which industry you're in, but what we have done and what is working really well is that we have embraced it completely and created our complete strategy around that, which also makes sense, of course, because when we do so, we avoid huge CO2 taxes, of course. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, we use it all the way around. We have we've done in our marketing, we use it in our recruiting. Young people today prefer to work in companies that are sustainable or have a strategy to become sustainable. But older people also do. Nobody wants to work in a company that is not sustainable if they have the choice. So my main advice would be to do not do it just partially here and there, but do it all around your company in everything you do. Embrace the sustainability strategy the moment you decide to go down that road.
Yeah, because there are so many benefits to it. But how do you then balance the pressure for profitability with the high cost of the green investment? Because it must also be very costly to change the operations, build these new ships.
Well, the new ships who are electrical, and we have several of them already. We have three ferry routes we have electrified already, and the fourth will be electrified by December this year. They're actually cheaper to operate. The moment you have electricity, it's cheaper to operate the whole ship compared to an old bunker diesel ship, because there's less repair and maintenance than you have in an old ship, simply because the ship is cleaner. There are no oil anywhere. There are no rust anywhere. The ship does not shake. It does not move the same way. So it's cheaper to operate, but the upfront investments that you have to do are so enormous that it is difficult to get a good business case out of it. There are a lot of subsidies being given by the European Union and by the states, where we are also applying for those subsidies. And we did receive European Union subsidies for the first project we made back in 2018. European Union paid 40% of the investment. We will probably receive some subsidies for the next one here, though it's minor compared to last time, the subsidies. But it basically means that you have a very long time horizon on getting a return on the investment. The advantage is that these ships last 30 years. So if you can stay in business for those 30 years, it's okay. But you have to have owners with deep pockets who are able to and willing to spend the money on day one.
I know that you also introduced this new AI technology, which influences the way you ship your ferries so that you can have more people on board at the same time, and then you can have fewer sailings, right?
Yes, one of the most important parts of using less energy in the whole society is also very important for us. That is utilizing the capacity you have. And on our present ferries, where we can take 350 cars, we use AI tools. AI tools that meant that we actually won the Edelman Award in 24 in the United States in AI, in usage of AI, which means that we are sort of world champions in that at the moment. We use AI to pack the ferries, basically, that AI models are sending information to our employees on small iPads who are loading the ferries, sending them on-time information about what composition of vehicles do we have, how many cars, how many trucks, how many buses, how many this and that. So they can pack and stack the ferries in an optimum way, which means that we can fill the ferries, and the more you have in the ferry, the less energy per vehicle you use, but also the less sailings you have to do in order to transport whatever you have to transport.
And that will also reduce the overall carbon emission
yes,
print.
Significantly. Yeah.
Okay. So it sounds like you're doing a lot of innovative things. You found these solutions to change, because the ferry industry is emission heavy. Like you said, it's one of the biggest in Denmark. But transport is essential. There are ways to make it greener, and you're kind of leading the way. on this. So I think this is why it's a very interesting example of how to solve some of the contemporary issues that are in sustainability.
Yes. And one of the things for us is also that we some of the routes we have, we own, but most of our routes in both Denmark, Sweden and Norway, we have 59 routes combined in our whole group of companies. Most of these routes are public concessions, where the state or region or municipality or whoever make the concession, they also demand that you become green. And for us, it's an enormous advantage that we are first mover in this, because we then can go in and offer them attractive solutions to decarbonization, where we have the right technology, both in building, designing the ferries, but also using all the technology around them.
So you would advise other business leaders to just take the step and try to see how can we become more sustainable, because there are so many advantages to it and it is the future.
Right? Yes, but it depends on which industry you are in. There are many industries where it will take significantly longer than it takes us, and then there are also industries where, of course, it's easier, it's cheaper than it is for us. But I think everybody has to go down that road one way or the other to survive in the future, and also basically to leave a better world behind us than the one we came into.
Yeah. And then on a more individual level, what is one simple thing you think that people can do to live more sustainably? That's one of the other questions we all have to ask.
Well, that is this rather complicated thing I said before about how we pack and stack the ferries, where we utilize the capacity completely, that all of us, if we use the capacity, we use the resources we have at our disposal, that we use them to a maximum level instead of wasting space, wasting energy, buying new stuff all the time. Yeah. But use what you have as much as possible. And that goes for everything from heating your house to buying new clothes.
Okay, so for the everyday person, you would say try to utilize the things you have better.
Yeah, all the resources you have are the resources you use.
Because we have a limited amount on this earth, so we should use them better. Okay, thank you so much. This has been very insightful. This has been a good example of how to solve contemporary issues in sustainability. So thank you for talking with me.
Yeah, thank you for letting me participate. It was a pleasure.
That brings us to the end of today's episode. My conversation with Christian Durhus offered a powerful example of how sustainability can be fully integrated into a business model, even in industries traditionally known for high emissions. Madsen's journey shows that going green isn't just about meeting regulations. It's about future-proofing your business, attracting talent, and making a meaningful impact. From electrifying ferry routes to using AI to optimize operations, they have embraced innovation to reduce their carbon footprint while continuing to serve millions of passengers each year. One of the most important takeaways is that sustainability works best when it's woven into every part of a company, from strategy and infrastructure to culture and communication. It's not enough to make small changes here and there. As Christian said, once you decide to go down the sustainability road, you have to commit fully. And on a personal level, we all have a role to play. Whether it's how we travel, what we consume, or how we use the resources around us, small choices add up, and sustainability isn't just a corporate challenge. It's a shared responsibility. Thank you very much for listening.
Carolina, that was really interesting. That was incredibly well done. Good work. You should be real proud of that. What was your big takeaway from the podcast interview?
My main takeaway was probably the way Christian told us how they are thinking sustainability into every part of their company. So it's both how they are electrifying the ferries, but also how they are loading them. And how, in the end, when I asked him what would be one advice you would give individuals for how to live more sustainably, he said he linked it really well, I thought, with what they are doing, that you have to think about the way you are using the resources that are available. So how to do it, if it's how you transport yourself or how you buy, like the kind of clothes you buy, if you're buying reusable clothes, and that there are so many aspects where you can use this whole efficiency thing of using the resources in the best way possible, not just throwing it out. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And then I like just how they are, I also say this in my introduction, I think, but that they are a company that is, or an industry that is known for polluting, but then they found ways to make it greener. And I think that's what a lot of companies in the future will have to do, find innovative ways of doing better. So this whole transition period that we're in.
Carolina, if you were going to go into a school today with high school kids, what advice would you give them about picking their future career pathway?
I would say both, of course, find something that interests you. So something that you can see yourself working with every single day for a long time to come. And then also to be aware of what the company is doing and if it's if the values are the same as your own. Because I think that's important to, if you want to have a meaningful professional career, then it's good. It's a good thing to consider.
You are exactly right. I think a lot of times people go into an organization where their values do not align with the organization's values, and that is a pathway to suffering. Yeah. What kind of things do you look for?
Of course, as I just said, I will look for the values. I want to do something that is contributing to more positive than negative things in the society overall. And then I also want somewhere where there are development opportunities, so that I don't get stuck in the same position, and that is something that I can see myself working in for a long time. And yeah, something that somewhere where they are doing something good.
Business for good.
Yes, exactly.
Carolina, one of the questions that I struggle with, and I know is a thing that Mawira and Joe explore in the course that you've just done, and I like to phrase it as, lots of the problems of the world are through overconsumption, and that's through business selling us more stuff, and that's related to the profit motive, what's driving things. So yeah. If business has got us into this mess, can we rely on it to get us out?
That is a big question. I remember we had a whole discussion about this in class, whether that is possible. And I would like to think that it is, that we can find innovative solutions to make business greener, so that we don't just stop it completely. And although we do probably have to back down a bit and not just keep, producing and producing. So I think if we can start using some of the materials that's already been produced, and then rethink them, so the circular economy ways, I hope that we will see much more of that, and that it will lead to a stop in the overconsumption, although it's going to be a big challenge. It's not something you can just do overnight.
It's my observation that Denmark and Sweden and so on have a much more mature understanding of circular economy and ideas of degrowth than many other parts in the world.
Mm.
Do you think that comes from a sort of a different understanding, or like a community understanding of something that's perhaps different from an Anglo-Saxon view?
Yeah, I think it might just be that we learn it from a very early age. And so it's in everything we do, that we don't want to just, or we want to be, I think we're also very proud of it, of how we are doing pretty well in a lot of factors, and that also fuels us to keep doing it and think in even more new ways. But I don't know, I think also with the globalization right now, and how that we are so much more connected also in generations, that it's not necessarily just what country you're from, but what generation you belong to, that it will be more of the, will be more similar maybe in the future, the way that is not just like you're from this country, so you have this idea, or you're from this country, you have another idea.
Let's sneak in the second of your music choices.
Yes.
It'd be good if I could read my writing. There it is. MGMT. I don't know how you're supposed to pronounce that. Majmut. They probably pronounce it MGMT, don't they? I have no idea. Electric Feel. Why this one?
That's because in the company that I am interviewing, they have electrified a lot of their passenger route, ferry routes. So I thought that would be a good match to find a song that has something to do with electricity. And then I also think it's a good song. So.
Double sprite of the wild coasts, secluded inlets, and forest and beaches of Otago Peninsula. Dunedin's favourite goddess, Tahu Mackenzie.
Kia ora koutou, ngā mihi aroha nui kia koutou ko tāwaho. I hope you're all having the best day, beautiful superstars, your beloved universes. I really hope, wherever you are, whatever's happening around you, this journey that we're all on together is proving to be very rewarding, very sustaining and illuminating for you more and more each day. Who you are, a triumph of nature's art, perfect, unique and here, making things better. Thank you. Now I know that for us all the last several years has been very tough and we've really had to try very hard to develop new strategies to look after ourselves, and of course as a species we've been doing this for a very long time, but we haven't had the united global consciousness in the same way that we have now. And of course, we stand at the forefront of many new ways of doing, being, seeing, feeling every day as we help the infinite universe to evolve just by being us. So I had a wonderful day yesterday in my new role at the Otago Shore and Land Trust. I was prancing about with beautiful kiddies from our homegrown school. And, you know, we talked all about the importance of being ourselves. And we had lots and lots of fun. And something that I really enjoyed about the day was having the opportunity just to use the things that I had in my car to teach the kiddies. And I do love this capacity that we have to adapt and move on the fly and see that one thing, even if it's an apple or a shoe, can in fact represent a sea lion or a sea star. And this ability that our consciousness has, I think, gives us a great freedom when things are tough. We know that even though things can appear one way, things have the capacity to change. So I really hope that for you, whatever's going on for you, your beautiful, beautiful mind and your beautiful, beautiful body are working together to give you all the support you need. I'm sure they are. And of course, I've become obsessed with the microbiome, which is a great joy to me. And I've been really enjoying making teas from all the medicinal plants around where I work and offering them to everyone, and everyone's been enjoying them. And I do enjoy being a scientist, even if it's unofficially, you know. And my dear friend at work hasn't been sleeping, so I made a medicinal tea with lavender and what have you in it. And he came in yesterday and he said, "Oh, I slept in this morning, you know, my alarm didn't go off." I said, "Oh, I must have put a bit too much lavender in it." And he said, "Oh, it worked." And he was very pleased about it. So that was really good. So I am enjoying my citizen science at the moment. And the other thing that's been happening, of course, which is really great, is because we are open to the whole world now in my new role. I've been meeting all these people from all over the world. And I've collected a new university, which is very exciting, which is Utica University. So that means that when we start having our international interns and what have you, that some of them will be from Utica. So I met this wonderful lady that can help me with my research as well. And she studies animal behaviour. And, of course, I am quite interested in human animal behaviour, but really the behaviour of all life and how it coexists. And she only has 13 students in her class, which I thought was really nice. And it reminded me, of course, of Dear Sam and Moira and, you know, the great work that you both do, really to nurture people. And, of course, we have evolved to live in small groups, and we have evolved to hunt in small groups, and we have evolved to, you know, look after the community in small groups. So it was nice to hear that this is still going on and this is still possible. I really hope for you, whatever you're working through at the moment, there are people in your life who are there to help you and who see you and appreciate you as you are, see your capacity for change and transformation, reaching even greater heights of magnificence, brilliance and indeed perfection. And I'll look forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks so much. Ka kite.
Some questions to end the show, and not very much time, so we're going to have to wriggle. What is the biggest success you've had in the last couple of years?
The biggest is that personally, I think it might be that I ran a half marathon earlier this year. I never thought I would be able to do that. and then that I finished my bachelor degree last year. I'm pretty proud of that, and then started my master's. And then going on exchange is also something that has been quite a success, I think. I really love being here. It's actually my second exchange day. I've been in Dublin for a semester as well. So those are some of the highlights, I would say.
What is your superpower?
My superpower? I think I'm pretty good at adapting to new spaces and to listen to people and understand it from other people's point of view, whatever the issue might be.
Do you consider yourself to be an activist?
I don't think activist would be. I don't think I would go so far, but I do want to make a change for the better and inspire other people to do so.
So what motivates you? What gets you out of bed in the morning?
I think I just really like to be active, and I like going out of my bed in the morning. I like my everyday life, both at home and here. So I'm just excited to go to class and to meet with my friends and to go to the gym. And yeah, I think I just like when I have a lot of plans.
What's the biggest challenge or opportunity that you're looking forward to in the next year or so?
I'm going to finish my master's degree next summer, or it would be winter here, but in June. So I'm going to have to start working full-time somewhere. So I'm a little bit nervous, but also excited to go out there in the world, find some company and actually put all the theory I've learned into practice and see what it's actually like out there.
And lastly, do you have any advice for our listeners?
I would advise the listeners to think about sustainability in their everyday life and in their consumption habits, what kind of products they buy, how they use the products, what they do with them after they're done using them, and to think about how to put to use resources more efficiently and reuse them, especially.
Good plan. Moira.
Carolina, it has been an absolute joy having you in class, and I've really enjoyed your work, your very global perspective, your willingness to share in class, and the way that you encourage other people. Thank you very much for joining us today. Thank you for a very thoughtful podcast, and we look forward to seeing how your future unfolds, because wherever you go, it will be great. Kia ora.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me both here and in class.
Thank you for that. Now, we're celebrating Mawira's birthday still. We're going out to Madonna and her birthday song.
And the beat goes on. I'm a happy girl. It's my birthday song. In my happy world. I know it's gonna be a good day.
Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. Brought to you by the Sustainable Lens team, who are brought to you by Otago Polytechnic and the University of Otago. We're broadcast on Otago Access Radio every Wednesday afternoon at 3 and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz. We had a contribution today from Tahu McKenzie. We were joined today by Carolina Dehus. With Mawira Karatai, I'm Samuel Mann. That was Blowing Bubbles. We hope you enjoyed the show. Mata wa.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.